This and I feel as though that's about right. We've looked at this verse in its elements. We've taken it apart from the perspective of I shall not want. For all the things that go on, all the things that we may, and we got to be careful with that word want. Want means to lack. Right? Nowadays, you ask a kid what they want for their birthday, and they'll tell you, I want a racing bicycle, I want this, I want that. But as we read it through its proper context of the word want, we'll not lack for anything. We'll not lack for rest. We'll not lack for sustenance. We'll not lack for peace. We'll not lack for a lot of things because of God, His love, His care for you. Every situation, every trouble, trial, and turmoil that you go through, He goes through with you. And I tell you what, if I just had one friend that was like that, and that friend was only like that to me, that'd make perfect sense. You're there for me in every moment. You're there for me in every need. But God is God to everybody. To all of His people, all of His children, we can reach out to Him at any moment. While I am in deep need and you are in deep need, we can both find ourselves in the presence of God, who sees your affliction, who cares for you. We serve a great God. And while many skeptics would sit there and pick apart everything that happens on this cursed earth and say, well, if God was so great, you got to remember that this isn't what He created. What He created was perfect. Was beautiful. He bundled it all up, gave us dominion over the animals, caused us to have water that was never polluted, caused us to have weather we would have lived forever in, gave this world perfection, bundled it up, handed it to us, said, just don't do this one thing. You do this one thing and death will enter. And what do we do? That thing. And what happened? Well, exactly what God said would happen. Death entered. And death entered in many various forms. See, I don't know if Adam and Eve believed that death would be immediate. This is a poison thing, and if I consume it, I'll die immediately. Oh no. We had to go the long way round. And every day, many of you experience your bodies breaking down. We do. Some of you ask me questions, I'll get to thinking, and my brain will just shut off. That's the curse. You'll be going a mile a minute. Your body will wear out. That's the curse. That's our bodies being finite. That's our bodies with finite energy and finite existence and all bundled up to as far as we can possibly live before the inevitable takes us out. God is good. Because in light of the inevitable, He gives His grace. Because of what happened in the garden, what should have happened is we were born in pain. We would live for a while with some good things, chasing the desires of our flesh, chasing down the things that would give us a cheap thrill here and there. We would live for a while. We'd go back into pain. We would die. We would spend eternity in hell. That is what the plan was after the Garden of Eden. That's what we did. Don't touch this. You'll die. And we did. But God in His infinite mercy, what did He do? He sent His Son to come down, live a perfect life. Die on that cross. And what happens when we die after that? I repent of my sins. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. What happens after I die? Well, that thing we wish we had here on earth, we'll have. No more death. No more pain. No more sitting there watching the weather, wondering whether or not your garden's going to get destroyed. I was driving out of my driveway, and I saw all that rain had washed a bit of my driveway down into the street. Got to go out there with a shovel, get my driveway back in my driveway. Oh, what's the weather going to do? Oh, we got a big fishing trip. We got camp coming up. What's the weather going to do? And heaven, I ain't got to worry about the weather. Well, if I'm feeling up to it, you ever have to say that? Been having a rough time. If I'm feeling up to it, I'll go over here, I'll go over there. I can't wait for a day I don't have to sit there and say, if I feel up to it. But that's not here. for what God gives us while we're here. God is a great God. He's great to us. Not having to fight things alone, having His wisdom that we can tap into, having knowledge that this world has thrown away but works so very well. He is good to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love the ending of that story. And I love that saints since the days of David have been able to proclaim that to a God who follows through. And there we will dwell forever. No trouble, no sorrow, no fighting, no issues. And we see there first, we can't get to that before we go through the top of verse 6. Because I tell you what, heaven's going to be wonderful, but you got to live down here. And I want to look at that phrase first. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What does that mean? Surely goodness. Let me break it down for you from the Hebrew there. It means good things. Good things. Look at your clothes. Good things. Good things. You didn't have to make them. You didn't have to stitch them together. Now, some of you did, and you did a fine job. But most of you, what did you do? You went out with money you had in your pocket. You bought clothing. That's a good thing. You drove your car here. That's a good thing. You got food in your belly. That's a good thing. Oh, we'll spend forever listing good things. The stuff you got in your house, the things that have happened. Oh, but now wait a minute, you're saying that because there's some good things, that means there's no bad things? Oh no, bad things will follow you too. Bad things will follow you too. I was out door knocking Dave Butcher down there at Flat Rock. Pray for him, he's going through some health issues. But we went door knocking. And I looked over at him and he was laughing. We're leaving from one house going to the other. He's laughing. I go, Dave, what's wrong with you? He said, turn around. Had a little tiny flock of ducks following us. The cutest little thing. Just sitting there. Had to be almost a dozen of them. Just wild ducks. We're walking and there they are. Just rant, rant. They must have recognized my walk. They must have been like, hey, he's one of us. Chasing after us. That was a great thing. But you know what? I've had some bad things chase me too, haven't you? Maybe not physically. But we've had some bad things follow us. See, God in all of His wonder and in all of His grace, He sends good things to follow after us. Sure, there's going to be some bad things back there. But He sends you good things. A Sunday morning in church, everybody getting together and singing, laughter in the fellowship hall, memories on the bulletin board, sorry, I'll get to that soon. All wonderful things, good things. We'll go back through those and we can smile. I remember when I first started putting things up on that board, it was of people who I just was starting to get to know. It's been almost 3 years now. I'm going through and I say, hey, I remember when we did this. And remember the first time we did this. Some of you look at each other, you've been together for decades. Good things to have people like that in your life. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Friends that are closer to family. Good things we have. You may have some bad days, but praise God for the good days. You're going to have good things, you're going to have good people, and yeah, among the mix, will be some bad. But I tell you what, I'm going to remember stronger the good things in light of the bad things that are there. With every fear and every problem and every obstacle that must be overcome, don't forget to stop and count the blessings. Because surely your God loves you enough to put good things in there. I've met people through the years, there's nothing good going on in my life. Well, all right, let's come on down to the prison and meet some people who ain't seen their family in decades. Can you walk around this town? Well, yes, I can. You got a good thing going for you. Well, you don't understand. I've got bills and I've got financial problems. Yeah, but do you have a house? Well, I do have a place to live and I do have some people taking me in for a while. You count those blessings. Because let's go down the road. Find some people living in the corner who don't have what you have. I think so often when we fail to recognize good things, it's because we fail to have proper gratitude for what we have. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be joyful. Now again, we don't want to be loony. We don't want to be daffy about it. But there ought to be a gratitude in our hearts as we look and we see the good things. So surely goodness and mercy. I tell you what, I love the goodness, man. You look over and, oh man, look at those kids and look at my wife and look at these wonderful things that I've got in my life. I love the goodness. I need the mercy. The first mercy I received as the Lord saved my soul, forgave my sin, all the mercy He showed me every day since then, I've needed mercy. And if the Lord gives me another day on earth, I'm probably going to need more mercy. I mean, I will be in the car for quite some time. I need some mercy. You ever have somebody, a good friend of yours, walk away because you did something and then hurt their feelings? Maybe you said an unkind word. They gave up on you. Said, I ain't talking to you no more. And they kept up on it. Doesn't it shock you that God puts up with you? He does. He does. If you were to go back to your parents when you were a child, having done the same sin or broken the same rule the 80th time, and said, no, really, Dad, I'm sorry this time, your dad would come down harder on you, wouldn't he? I know mine would. You know what God does? He forgives us every time. Now, there might be some chastening. There might be some consequences from the thing you did. But that mercy is always there. That mercy is always there. Well, people don't deserve mercy. That's why it's called mercy. If we deserved it, we wouldn't need it. He'll always have more mercy for us. We ought to ask Him for that mercy. And folks, we ought to ask Him for it often. You know, we'll pray publicly and we'll say, and forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name, amen. And that's fine. That's what we ought to do in public. When you're alone, don't forget to list every single one. Well, that's a little tedious, don't you think? I don't know. I mean, 39 lashes to the back, that's a bit redundant, ain't it? Ain't it? How many hours was it? That seems like a long period of time to hang out on a cross. How many drops of blood did He have to spill? Well, I'll tell you this. When I go to Him, I take it seriously. Lord, I lost my temper. Lord, I said this and I shouldn't have. Lord, I forgot to do this and I should have been more careful. Right? Why? I can't remember. Then slow down. Slow down on that sin. If you can't remember the stuff you're doing, slow it down. Because it ought to bug you. Go to Him and ask for mercy. Never let anything build up between you and God. Oh, I've seen people like that. They'll do that too. They'll sit there between friends. Well, they did this and it bugged me. They did this and it bugged me. And they did this and it bugged me. Did you mention it to them? No. Why? Well, I'm waiting for them to notice that I'm bugged. And I'm going to let it go so far before I say anything to them. Why? If you owed him $5, wouldn't you give him the $5 the next time you saw him?
Well, yeah.
If they owed you $5, would you ask them about it?
Well, yeah.
Somebody owes you an apology, you'd ask for it, wouldn't you? You ought to. What happens when we bury hurt in the back of our mind? It grows bitterness. Bitterness will ruin your whole garden. Bitterness will tear apart your life. If I owe something to God like an apology, I ought to go to Him. I ought to go make it right. Lord, I did you wrong. I represented you wrong. I ought to get it right. Go to Him as oft as you can, asking for that forgiveness. And don't be surprised when it's there every time. You know, you think about who you are. You think about how far you've come. And many of you, if you're like me, and I've heard you guys give this testimony, that man, if you saw who I was, it don't make no sense that God would do anything with me. Right? We've got that testimony, don't we? Man, if you saw how little I brought to the table, or you saw how destructive I was, man, nobody'd want to have anything to do with me. Aren't you glad God did anyway? I was a project, wasn't worth the effort. I was a project, wasn't fit to do anything with. They found an archaeologist found an old hammer buried deep in the clay. And you know what happens when they find stuff like that? They're careful with it. They rope it off. They document it the way that they've got to. But that tool never gets used. They never restore it. They put it in a museum, dirty, rusted, and broken. I like to watch these videos of people restoring things. You ever like people watching people restore stuff? We found this old axe head, so what we're going to do is we're going to dip it in this. We're going to put some jumper cables on it. We're going to polish it up. Look, we're going to come out here to the backyard. We're going to find ourselves a nice piece of wood. We're going to sand it all down. We're going to put this back together, and at the end of the video, here it is. And so often I sat there in the beginning of those videos going, I wouldn't even touch that. I can't tell you the last time I had a tetanus shot. I wouldn't touch that. To the whole world, to yourself, you may see yourself as a project not worthy to be touched. Well, if that was me, if that was mine, I'd have thrown that out. You know what? You're probably right. And in the hands of God, you look down at me, you look down at some of us, we would sit there and say, we weren't worth it. But instead of throwing you away, instead of letting you go to hell, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. So He could polish you up. If I was just a project, that makes sense. But God goes ahead and He uses you. He puts effort into you, makes you sharper, makes you stronger, makes you able to be a part of other people's lives in a good way. That don't make no sense to me. I mean, I get if you're just fiddling around and you want to make me a little bit better, I get it. But to use us, to empower us to be useful, He goes all the way that far. That is mercy. You ever have two kids arguing? We've used this illustration before, right? Now say you're sorry. My mom always used to make us do that. Say you're sorry and hug. Say you're sorry and hug. To this day, my brother and I, if we have to hug each other, we'll try to choke the other one out. Because that's how we did it as kids. Say you're sorry and hug each other. Fine. I'm sorry. Wait till the other one turns blue or mom catches on. He says, oh, now see, isn't that sweet? Isn't it good to have friends? You see, it's good when you guys are friends. Man, we sit there, bear hug each other out. There's that kind of mercy. And there's that, I love you. Let me restore you. I want you to be a part of what we're doing. That's a different kind of mercy, isn't it? And that is the mercy that is spoken of by David. Surely goodness and mercy David didn't have a lot of goodness and mercy that we would see. But if you look close enough, well, how good is it? Man, the first one, his first wife, all the trouble. I mean, we're studying David's life right now. If we go to that particular point, hiding in a cave, Saul looking for him, that doesn't sound very good or merciful, does it? I don't know. God gave him a cave. God put Saul in his hands multiple times and blessed him for not killing Saul. There's some goodness there. Whole lot of mercy. Let us never be blind to the large amount of goodness and mercy that God gives us. It is abundant. And I promise you, if you look at it, if you look at the sum of your life, you'll be fine. You'll be glad. To continue on in the verse, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is one of my favorite places to be on earth. It really is. I love being here studying. I love seeing you folks here. And I tell you what, without you guys, it's just a building. It's a building that makes some random and confusing noises from time to time. But it's just a building. When you're in here, ain't just the lights that are on. It warms my heart. I feel like I'm a part of something. Gives purpose to my life. It is a wonderful thing when this house has you in it. And we get to be here. We get to be here. Now we've got some folks, they're sitting at home. They don't feel good. You know what? The next time they're going to be here, they'll be, oh, I'm so glad I got to be here. Oh man, I've been down, I've been sick. Anything's better to see than my bed, but man, I am glad to be in the house of God. We get to be here today. If you're here, you get to be here today. Finer than any hospital, better than any prison. And I tell you what, a bad day in the house of God is better than the best day anywhere else. It's a good thing. We get to dwell in the house of the Lord here. And then when we die, we get to dwell in heaven forever. Wouldn't it be weird? I mean, wouldn't it be troubling if after about 1,000 years, God just stopped and said, all right, let's see who should still be here. No sin in heaven, so no need to reevaluate. Praise the Lord, right? But I tell you what, it is a good thing to have heaven to look forward to. It is. And to know that that promise is there. Now, if you're not saved, that is something to consider. But not because heaven sounds a whole lot better than hell. See, dwelling in the house of God means you got to dwell with the one who lives in that house. You know, I've heard some folks, well, I think we sing too much. Well, you're going to hate heaven. You're going to hate it up there. It's too bright. Man, you're going to be miserable up in heaven, man. Feels like whenever I go to that church, all we ever talk about is God. You're going to be really upset about the subject material when we get over there. Because I tell you what, if you think you've seen some cool things here, I don't know how long it's going to take us to get used to the stuff that we're seeing up there to where we stop talking about it. Did you see that? I mean, that road really was made of gold. Right here in the New Jerusalem, that's real gold. Don't bite it, you know. It's gold. Now look at these gates. I mean, we've heard about these gates all our lives here in the New Jerusalem. Look at these gates. I couldn't imagine. Where'd they get a pearl this big? We're going to have some questions. We're going to have some conversations. I mean, we have normal people talk, don't we? We walk around, oh, did you see the rain? Did you see what the president was doing? Did you see this? These are things that almost irritate us to talk about. What do you think it's going to be like when we're really fascinated by the stuff going on around us? When all that is done away with and we're issued into heaven proper and we're walking around, and I hate the way Hollywood portrays it, just clouds all over. I've never read a passage in the Bible that talks about where I'm going to be bouncing around on clouds. You ever walk on something super soft? That would irritate me. It'd be like in a bounce house 24/7 for all eternity. And you just kind of see them sitting there and they're bouncing around. Remember the, this is not biblical. Remember the cookie commercials, the Got Milk commercials? Sorry, the Got Milk commercials? The guy is sitting there and he's got cookies everywhere. And he's like, oh, and he's eating this big old cookie and he's looking around. And he goes, I must be in heaven. And he opens up the refrigerator and there's milk. And he goes to grab the milk, but all the cartons are empty. And he realizes it's probably not heaven. I hate when people describe heaven like that. It's not like that. Oh, we'll have cookies and ride unicorns and this or that. Life over in heaven is going to be pretty much like it is over here, but without all the bad stuff. It's going to be pretty much what we're seeing here. And we'll come and we'll go to different places, and you come on over to my house, I'll come on over to yours, we'll all meet over there by the throne, we'll have things that we'll do throughout all eternity just to keep our minds going. And have a great time over there. And I get to be there forever. Now here's the thing, I didn't luck into it, I didn't scratch a lottery ticket, and oh, I get to go to heaven. I didn't work for it. Well, if you work for X amount of years for the church and you put in this amount, and maybe then you can get into heaven. I didn't have to buy a ticket into heaven because I could not. Some people are trying. I could not. There ain't no such thing as being able to buy your way into heaven. Well, if you give enough to the church and buy enough candles and do all this stuff, you'll get to go to heaven. That ain't the way it is. I got invited. Don't make no sense I get to be invited. You look at someone like me, all right, well, where do I invite this guy to go to dinner? Why, he looks like a McDonald's Taco Bell kind of guy. You'll drive down the road and you see somebody in a fancy car and they look good, they look like they've got money. Well, that person we'll take down to the fancy restaurant. It don't make no sense to invite the Taco Bell guy over to the fancy restaurant. He'll just embarrass you. That's how I feel about me getting to go to heaven, by the way. Like somebody invited their redneck uncle to a very fancy party. And yet he invites us. I want you. Well, now, wait a minute. There's better people out there. Look, this person fed people by the millions. This person's very prominent. This person pushed this legislation through. There are better people, Lord. Yeah. But I want you. Now, you take a second. You think about that. God putting his finger in your face saying, yeah, but I want you. And you get to have that. Now you tell me what you want for. You tell me about that. You tell me about that pain. You tell me about that worry. You tell me about that care. Doesn't matter what happens here. When I am done dwelling in this house of the Lord, I get to go dwell in another one. One I've never got to leave. One that I've not got to worry about what the legislature's doing. I don't have to worry about what's going on in society. I don't got to worry about the weather. I don't got to worry about other countries. I've just got to get up and go down and do my favorite thing. And that's worship the Lord. And just go about my eternity doing so. That's amazing to me. I love a Sunday morning. I love a Sunday night. I love any time we're here together. I love camp. I'm sitting there going through the register list, making sure I've got everybody. And I go, I ain't seen you in 5 years. I'm looking forward to it. Got my phone out. Hey, man, can't wait to see you. I'm so excited to be around God's people. I like to think that that's exactly what heaven's going to be like for some of us. One big reunion. Hey, how are you? How was life? All right, where are you going? Let's head on over to the throne. There's a brand new song we're going to sing today. All right, well, tell me how to sing it once, as we get down there. Come on. That's it. I met you once. I remember you. You were the guy over there at that church. You stood up and you gave that testimony. That was beautiful. Yeah, Lord bless the rest of my life. And now I'm here. You understand how powerful that is? That gets to be the end of your story. And it's not really the end of the story, is it? It's kind of like a happily ever after thing. You know that there's more story after it. You just don't know what it looks like. That is a blessing in your pocket too big for the pants you're wearing. That's a blessing. As we sit here and we look at all of these things, David was not dumb to his circumstances. He was not blind to the suffering around him. He even said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is not a life that is so blessed it doesn't experience bad so he can sing about it. No, this is a life of good and bad, and he's thankful for God's work in it. And that's where we sit, isn't it? You, me, and David. Every person who's ever lived. Whole lot of good. Whole lot of bad. Jumbled together. But as you look and you see God's blessing, you know that those are things that are there that would not be there without him. Those are things that are there that would be entirely different or worse if he were not there. And why? Because God cares for you. You know, I've got people in my life, they don't care for me no more. Hurts, don't it? It hurts. But I'm going to tell you this. God cares. There was a person I talked to one time. I think I told you about her. She was at a nursing home. She was a good lady. But she ran out of relatives. Children had passed on. She didn't have anybody. One of the ladies in our church, she was friends with her. And she said, Matt, would you go? It was Hazel Simonton. She goes, Matt, would you go pray with her and read the Bible with her? Now, this was a woman who couldn't get out of the bed. She couldn't move her arms. She was quadriplegic. Used a tube to communicate to people outside of the room to come and move her arm. Think about that for a second. She'd tell me what passages of scripture she wanted to read. She wanted me to read. She liked the happy verses. The joyful ones. And you know what she had the nerve to do to me? Tell me about how God's blessed her life. To have a smile on her face. I walked out of her hospital room. It was a long-term nursing care. I walked out of that room in tears every time I met her. Her faith was untouchable. You understand? Untouchable. Think right now. Your nose itches. What are you going to do? She couldn't. She'd have to blow on a tube and wait for someone making $9.50 an hour. Come scratch it for her. Talking to me about the blessings of God. The joy that she has. And you got to think either there's something in that medication, or there's something in the Lord. And I'll tell you what, she was a coherent person. So I don't think it was the meds. There's good. There is bad. And in the end of it all, there is an eternity and a place that makes this place look like a land of torment. The good will always be there. The mercy will always be there. And then the eternity's just waiting. It's a party just waiting for us. A celebration around God's throne. An eternity. You say, well, what happens if we get bored with each other? I mean, an eternity with so-and-so is going to drive me nuts. Well, there's going to be a lot of folks up there. You just go somewhere else. I'll sing on the other side of the throne for a while. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. But it's wonderful now, too. To those who are grateful, to those who have the ability to stop and count the blessings and see, look at what my God has done. Oh, there'll be hurts. Don't forget, along with that good, there's going to be some bad chasing after you too. And it's going to be there no matter what you like. You know, I'll tell you this. You know, I was sitting at the house. I was comfortable. Now, I told you recently about that spider that we found, right? He has some cousins. And I'm sitting there comfortable. I'm relaxed. I'm not thinking about his cousins. I'm not thinking about him. He's gone. But they're there. Danielle was chasing after one. She threw something at it and it disappeared. I know they talk about that on the internet. I lived it. It's terrifying. He went away and now he has a vendetta. He's seen my face and her face. None of us are safe. Maybe as comfortable as possible, something bad comes sneaking up on you. Did I ever tell you why I'm afraid of spiders? I know, I got to go. But I'll tell you why I'm afraid of spiders. I was a kid living in an apartment. It wasn't a great apartment, but we lived in the apartment. And somebody had a pet tarantula. And it got loose. Now, apartments, the thing about apartments is the name is a lie. We're not apart. We're all together. Your pet spider loose in the ventilation is my pet spider loose in the ventilation. I'm sitting there on the couch, mom, me, my brother, just sitting there relaxing, watching a movie, having a good old time. My brother gets up to get some juice, comes back into the living room, looks over at me, leaves. Mom! Mom! Mom goes in there. I hear some whispering. She looks over at me, white as a sheet. I go, what's wrong with Mom? Did he spill the juice? Did he? But then I realized she wasn't looking at me. She was looking right here. And from that day on, kill him with fire. I didn't see it coming. And I'll tell you something scarier. I didn't see it go. Everybody heard me. They'll sneak up on you. Oh, what a great day! There's some bad. It's been following you around. Oh, everything's going great! Or my personal favorite, things are pretty rough. It'll get you anywhere, man. Evil will get you anywhere you are. But along with it, look for the good that's following you too. You hit me. The devil hit me. But you lost. I saw what you were trying to do. You were trying to put me into this position. I could play chess. You moved here, devil, so that I would do that. But God told me not to do that. So I'm going to do this. Now what are you going to do? Oh, that disease came to get me. And now look. I'm clear of it. One day, for me, that a disease is going to come get me, and it'll get me. But where's the sting? Where's the fear? It's nowhere. Because the worst thing you can do for me is the best thing you can do for me. What a blessed life we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it can be hard seeing the blessings through all of the trouble. But Lord, it's there. Your hand is not difficult to see. Lord, I pray that we be temperate in our emotions so that we can see the goodness. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us, Lord, to be able to come to you and make apologies so that, Lord, we may obtain mercy. We know there's so much of it. And Lord, I would ask this, not that we would receive mercy, but Father, help us to get to a place where we don't need it as much. Help us to walk circumspectly so we don't have to come to you for mercy. But Lord, when we do, we know we can get it. And Lord, as we dwell in your house today, I pray you keep us close as family and friends. I pray that we can communicate and stay strong in you. And oh, Father, in the day that we're called up to your house in heaven, what a beautiful day that's going to be. Really colors. The idea that we get to go there really colors the life we're living here. Oh, Lord, your blessings just keep coming. We're thankful, Father. Be with us now as we go our way. Keep us safe. Lord, keep us walking close to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.